Sorry. Oh no, there's pollen everywhere.
Don't stick my finger in or do the weight test where you just...
I've also heard of sugared pansies.
I put my leaf blower electric on the lowest setting and go...
Low maintenance thing that I can do in my raised planters, and I get to enjoy flowers, and it's a nice variety of flowers. They're
How
so...
satisfying was that?
Oh, Hungary? I am so sorry. That was Hungary.
One shot. And they do not... Don't miss your chance to grow.
You can't just leave it.
I know. Of course I can't.
Welcome back to the Helpful Gardeners podcast. Well, Colin, this week we're doing something completely different than anything we've done so far in the Starting From Seed mini series here on the podcast. And we are talking flower power.
You know, I need this reminder because I guarantee if you were like, oh, let's talk about seeds and flowers, I'd be like, tomatoes, 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 tomatoes.
There's flowers on tomatoes.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of flowers in here that, you know, might be a little bit difficult to pronounce, but we're going to get through it. We're going to go through a whole bunch of different flowers. I just went down and grabbed a whole bunch. We got a lot of seed varieties in right now. I don't know. Let's just kind of dive in because you can really do a lot with flowers. This is a subject I don't really know a lot about, so I'm really excited. Obviously, we've talked in the past when you're thinking about starting from seed, you know, your mind instantly goes towards vegetables, but I've never grown flowers before other than just like a standard wildflower mix that I just throw in wherever I want flowers.
Yep. You know, the first thing maybe to consider when you're looking at flowers is right away, is it an annual or a perennial?
Oh, good point.
So you see something and you look and there was one here. I don't know where it is now. Oh, I think I see it over here hiding. Cosmos.
Okay.
So it's an annual.
Okay.
No problem. But you look at that picture and you go, oh, they're beautiful. I want them. Okay. Yeah. So you grab them and then you go, I'm going to put them in a pot. They're going to look amazing. And then you realize that they get, you know, 3 feet tall and you put them in a very weird shaped pot and you're like, well, that just looks strange. But you got excited because of this, and maybe you didn't have room in a garden. Maybe you don't have a garden. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was just something new you were going to try.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's wrong to put them in a pot. I've put them in a pot. Jenny put them in a pot. And I think they look great. I have no problem. It's a flower. It makes me happy. Mm-hmm. But I find with a tomato, we kind of know what to expect. With a pepper, we kind of know what to expect. But I find with flowers, people can get very excited, and maybe they're not looking if it's annual or perennial. Maybe they're not looking at the side because right there it says sun and annual.
Okay, so before we kind of keep going, for anybody who doesn't know, annual is a one and done, so a one season.
Yep.
That's it. I know you can probably harvest seeds and everything to kind of, you know, keep the tradition going on that way. But perennial, that's the one. So can you explain perennial? And I think there's even biennial flowers, aren't there?
If the plant has to repropagate from a seed, it's an annual. So basically what happens at the end of the season, the entire plant dies. The flowers, the leaves, the stem, and the root. Perennial, it dies back, but the roots are alive. Mm-hmm. And biennials go for 2 years. So the standard growth of a plant, really quick, plant the seed germinates, it's a seedling. It then starts growing into a mature plant. And we're obviously talking about flowers specifically here. Then it flowers. Then the flower gets fertilized, gets pollinated, and it forms seeds. And then it dies back. And that's the normal cycle. And the reason I say that is because a biennial does all of that, but it does it over 2 years. So a biennial comes up, first year's growth, second year puts out its flower, then it regrows from seed and does that same cycle over 2 years. So it's like a 2 year annual. It's like the director's cut annual.
That's cool, actually.
Yeah. So an annual is like, hey, here I am. Look at me, flower. I'm dead. Perennial's like, I got you. I'm here forever. Don't even worry about me. And then the biennial is like the DVD extra commentary, bonus scenes, deleted footage.
I've never seen gardening explained in this way before.
It makes sense to me. In my mind, I'm like, oh, I understand that concept.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's dive into some of these annual, perennial, biennial flowers that you can be growing in your garden. Let's just start with, obviously, the one that I know the most about, and that's the only one here. It is wildflower. Like packages. So we have these little ones you can get. Oh, I got these. I got two of them.
There you go. Bonus.
But you can even get very specific in wildflowers. Like this one says partial shade blend. I believe I got one. I think you can even go as far as like pollinator friendly. Yeah. Which one's the one that you have?
This one I love. I love. It's alternative lawn.
Alternative lawn wildflowers. So these have been like curated wildflower packages that are good for certain areas of your of your space.
So this one is going to, right? Without, I mean, it says right on it, but without even reading any of that, I read alternative lawn. I know it's going to be low growing. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's because your lawn, you want it nice and low. You know why? You know why? I'm going to totally digress here. Do you know why lawns became so common?
No.
So back in the day, they had, when you go to England, you'll see this. But the castles had these huge grass areas, lawn areas that they'd maintain really short. So it was very difficult for the enemy to sneak up.
Oh.
It's a security feature.
Oh, they couldn't hide.
Exactly. Nothing to hide on.
So that's why they started cutting lawns. And then people were like,
Oh, I want this. I want to imitate that. Exactly. Yeah. If it's safe for a castle, it's safe for my yard.
That's the ad that goes. Yeah.
So, but these, like you said, there's shade, there's pollinator, there's a hummingbird blend. Mm-hmm. I've seen a hummingbird blend. Then you've got highly specific ones, clover.
Yeah.
Creeping thyme. Mm-hmm. You know, those are other alternatives. They are a flower, but they're very specific as a lawn alternative. So
yeah,
wildflowers are a great, and there are perennial varieties and annual varieties of wildflowers.
I just love it because it's just so easy. You don't have to do any like spacing. You're just like sprinkle it in there. Like it's the most low maintenance thing that I can do in my raised planters, and I get to enjoy flowers, and it's a nice variety of flowers too,
really,
right?
Is.
You're not having to kind of pick and choose. But if you do want to pick and choose, there are lots of options for you. Let's go into some of these. So instantly, the one that first hit my eye, never grown it before, but zinnia. Mm-hmm. And I know zinnia is grown across North America. This one's called Queenie Lime Orange.
Okay. Yeah.
It almost looks like a dahlia.
Oh, so when they named flowers, they managed to get the colors correct. But when, sorry.
Just you wait. There's some fun in this. There's some fun in this little.
If you lift up a purple one and it's called red something, I'm walking out. I'm done.
We'll just have to see. Stay tuned. What else do we have? Okay. So I never knew how to pronounce this one before.
Nasturtium.
Yeah. I don't know. I think when I was younger, I used to say nasturtium.
I like that too.
And so I don't know. However you pronounce it, this is pretty good. This is called Empress of India. It's a nice red one.
And just fun fact, it's edible.
There we go. Yeah. I've seen people include nasturtium in salads.
They look great. They look great just even like on the top for presentation.
Yeah.
And you can eat it at the same time.
Oh, can you imagine it on like a soup or something? Oh, that would be super cute.
Yeah. Oh, the red flowers. Yeah. Go back to last week on a butternut squash soup.
Oh, there we go.
In the autumn, the plant's going to die anyway. So you harvest the flowers for your soup.
Yeah. See?
There
we go.
That's where we're at.
I've also heard of sugared pansies. I've never tried it before, but maybe I'll look for a recipe and pop it on the blog.
Really? If you sugar anything, I'm pretty much in.
I mean, assuming it's edible, yes.
Yeah. I know if you wanted to kill me, you could be like, here's some sugared arsenic. I'll be like, okay, sounds pretty good to me.
Well, you know what is also really good to the bees in our garden, and they go nuts for this, sunflower.
Oh, okay. I love sunflowers.
Mm-hmm.
Nelly always grow them. I've shown people how to grow them in small pots. And I'm all about the sunflower. I like it strong and it's bold. But something that's very important for the bees, it takes a long time to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So sunflower is one of the flowers, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, that I do recommend starting inside.
Mm-hmm.
When they get to the end of the season in September and they put out that huge head, there's not a ton of other things that are blossoming at that time. Mm-hmm. And the amount of pollen in there, and then you let the bees do their work, and then you cut down the big head and you've got a ton of sunflower seeds you can eat out of it, or you can plant next year.
Right.
Ridiculously easy to harvest.
Isn't it amazing with sunflowers how, you know, a lot of these other flowers grow multiple flowers, so multiple blooms, right? And they can kind of keep going.
Yep.
But it's amazing that the bees go crazy for a sunflower. There's one bloom, but it's a showstopper.
Sunflower I grew a few years ago, and it was beautiful, beautiful autumn, really warm, just gorgeous weather. And I went out and I think, I don't know, the head was probably 14, maybe 16 inches diameter. And I believe there was like 9 or 10 bees on it.
Wow.
All of it, and different variety of bees. Mm-hmm. They were all just going nuts for it. And it just made me so happy.
Yeah.
Just literally, I stood there and watched the bees, and I was watching what they were doing and getting in. I'm like, you go at it. And I was taking pictures. And I was,
yes. Yeah. You were even telling me before we sat down for the podcast that sunflower is one of those first seeds that kids know how to grow.
Yep.
Like they'll grow them in school. And I mean, there's even a seed packet there. Do you see it?
This one?
Yeah.
Fun seeds.
Fun seeds, right? Yep. Very kid friendly.
Directed exactly at the kid market.
Exactly.
Yeah. And oh, I like the name of it too. It's mm-hmm. called The Ray of Sunshine.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. This is really cool. This is called Velvet Queen. Because you know how like usually sunflowers are very bright yellow? Yep. You can get them in this really neat red shade.
Anything in that orange, red, yellow spectrum. Mm-hmm. And the other great thing about sunflowers is in close to my area, not there, but I drive past it regularly enough. Somebody grows a ridiculous amount of sunflowers. And I mean ridiculous in a good way. Like I'm not like ridiculous. That's preposterous. But I'm talking there has to be probably 200 sunflowers, and everything from the 12-foot giants down to the 3-foot minis.
Do you think they grow it for themselves, or do they do harvest and then they sell the bouquets?
I think they do it. No, I think they do it for themselves as a privacy screen.
Oh, that's smart.
Because their backyard, just the way it's set up, it kind of overlooks a road, like a main road. It's not like backing into an alleyway like my backyard does.
Yeah.
And it's very visible. And I believe they put it up as their summer privacy screen.
Cool.
And it is amazing. Every time I drive by, I slow down as long as there's nobody behind me. And I'm just like right on. Like
what a great use of space.
Yeah, the pollinators they must get. And it's beautiful. And they do all sizes, all colors. Mm-hmm. And I think every year they're just, there's no rhyme or reason. It's not like, oh, the big ones are on this side and the little ones are there. I think maybe they get somebody like you to plant their seeds.
You know what, though? If I was a bee, that's the biggest beacon ever.
If I was that neighbor, I'd be in my element. I'd be like, you did all that work and I've got all the veggies.
Woo! Score! Okay, let's move on to, this is kind of fun. It's like we have this whole like little gardener's charcuterie board.
Classic one, the daisy.
Oh, I love daisies.
Yeah, daisies are... I think daisies, I don't know why, they make so many people so happy. And I don't know whether it's because they're so simplistic or they're just a natural like spring emblem, like that bright yellow center and the white petals.
Yeah. And that's another one where you'll get multiple blooms.
Yeah. And they're a lot of fun. But, you know, just to touch on that, one of the reasons I grabbed this is, one, I love the daisy. Mm-hmm. But we talked about this in some earlier episodes. The daisy, this one anyway, that's seed coating on it.
Oh, so it's so I guess in that case, because it's small, it's easier to see kind of thing?
Exactly. So it's easier to plant, it breaks down, and you've got it. And it's all natural. A lot of these, they're not using hard chemicals to coat the seeds. It's basically something that's just going to coat it. Some people will use dehydrated peat moss and do a little pellet like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what this one is, but some people will do that.
What is this one? A moonflower?
A moonflower?
I've never heard of a moonflower before.
Okay.
It's bright white.
A fabulous show of fragrant white blossoms, which grow up to 6 inches across. The blossom opens in the evening and stay open until the next noon. So basically a full sun area. And then when the moon comes out, that full moon catches that.
100%.
I know my luck would be every time there was a full moon in Calgary, it would be cloudy. Like, oh my God, it's a full solar eclipse. Cloudy day.
Of course. That's just the cards were dealt, Colin. I'm talking about some of the other towering flowers that you can grow. I picked up Foxglove.
Yep.
That is another bee positive flower.
It is. And okay. Do you know what's cool about it? Do you know why it's a different color up there?
No.
Yeah, you picked it up. It's a biennial.
Oh, it is a biennial. Yep. What about hollyhock? Is that also a biennial? Ah, interesting. So these are going to be the ones that if you plant them, you'll get 2 years out of it, right?
Well, that's cool. Yes and no. Because if all you plant is that the first year. So if you're going to do something like that, you may want to buy some pre-grown. Because if you buy that from us, they've already done the growing year. You're getting the blooms. Mm-hmm. If you go home and you're like, I'm going to do this whole area in foxgloves, the first, it's just green plants, which I love green plants, but it's not... You're not growing the tomato plant because you like the smell of the tomatoes. I love the smell of a tomato plant, but I'm growing it with the end result of eating the tomato. The smell is a benefit. Having a beautiful, healthy green plant is awesome, but you're planting a flower seed probably because you want the flower.
Yeah, well, okay, I want to talk about poppies. Whenever I get a wildflower mix, at least in Southern Alberta, poppy is usually in it.
Yep.
And it's a really beautiful flower. I actually found, okay.
Okay, so what I'm doing is I'm holding up a poppy, and it's called Hungarian Blue.
Yeah.
My eye tells me that it should be called Hungarian Purple, and I'm holding up a blue mug as a comparison, and I'm just not going to say anything more on that.
I'm going to maybe that is blue in Hungaria. Hungary. Hungaria? What? Where is my brain today? Hungaria? I am so sorry. That was Hungary. Hungarian blue poppies produce elegant purple flowers. Or maybe blue in the sense of an emotion.
Okay. Like, but if you're growing a bright purple flower, why are you feeling blue? And I'm not touching.
Okay, here's another one.
Okay.
Black swan poppies.
I think when a lot of people think poppy, we immediately go to November and Remembrance Day. Mm-hmm. And we think of that symbol and we think of, like, you know, come here, Flanders Field poppy.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the poppy where you say poppy. The first thing you say, that's where my mind goes instantly. If I'm being honest, and this is totally anecdotal, I love poppies. But because of what I just touched on, the Flanders Field one, they always make me a little whimsical. Mm-hmm. Like other flowers I look at and I just love, like sunflower. Okay, sunflower. Marigolds always make me happy because of some of the work I did with kids and marigolds and whatnot. But poppies always, they elicit like that sense of like, you know, just kind of bit of reflection, bit of thoughtfulness.
Like maybe like a little portion of your garden, it is sort of including that flower for those moments.
And I have poppies in my yard.
Okay, so what else do we have over here?
I just want to touch on these ones because I'm going to bet the reason you picked up these poppies is twofold. You picked them up because the picture on the front is beautiful and it really showcases the colors that poppies can come in. But I got a feeling you also like the name California Jelly Bean.
That's actually why I picked it up.
I'm not saying we know each other that well, Brandy, but we know each other
now. That's the cutest name I've ever heard for a seed packet ever. California Jelly Beans.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
I mean, there's so many things you can grow in a flower garden. You've got columbine. You've got Cupid's dart. You've got marigolds.
Yeah.
Okay, what else? We've got echinacea, also known as the coneflower.
Yep. So you've got these big, strong flowers. You've got ones like poppies. Maybe they're a little bit wispy. Maybe they elicit a feeling. You've got trailers. You've got pansies and petunias that can come down. Mm-hmm. You've got vines.
Oh, my gosh.
Sweet peas, morning glories.
Sweet peas, fragrance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's an appeal to all the senses and there's a purpose. Mm-hmm. You can, my mom, when she lived in Beddington, she had a big trellis, an arbor. We'd plant morning glories.
Yeah.
And they would just cascade around it. They would naturally climb it. And then you've suddenly got this beautiful arbor draped in flowers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so possible to start from seed. Let's kind of go into that seed starting journey. Because you did mention a little bit earlier that some of these you do want to start inside.
Yeah. Really the only one that leaps out to me that you should start inside is the sunflower.
Yeah.
And again, I'm talking about the big, big varieties. Some of the smaller ones, the ones that get 3-4 foot, they'll be fine. You mm-hmm. see them blooming in July. I'm talking about the massive ones that get 12 foot tall. You might want to get a jump on them. A lot of times the only reason to grow your flowers inside is so that you're not waiting for a long time when you put them outside.
Yeah.
So, but.
Yeah, even nowadays, we just got in these.
little baby geranium.
Little baby geranium seedlings. And that is exactly to feed yep. that facet. It's to make sure that you have like a more established plant as soon as it's time to transplant.
Exactly. Because we have such, it's different when you're in, you know, the tropics or somewhere nice where you can have something year round. Mm-hmm. We don't have that luxury.
No.
We want to get the biggest bang for our buck in the shortest possible time. Get those seeds, get them advanced. So when you put them outside, you're getting your blooms quicker. Hardy varieties for the cold. Marigolds can be pretty hardy. Pansies, there's certain ones that are like frost varieties. Chrysanthemums. Yeah. So yeah. Most of my flowers I do start outside, or I buy pre-grown to augment while I'm waiting for them.
Yes, and that's exactly it. We talked about it before. It doesn't make you less of a gardener if you choose those pre-grown plants at all. It's just dependent on your lifestyle, what you're growing these for, and also looking at the type of space and what you can grow outside, because as you mentioned, some of these are full sun. Some of these, including the wildflower ones, are for more of those partial shady spots. So also heard that marigolds can be a good companion planting to some of your vegetables because it deters pests. They don't like the smell of it.
So that was one of the reasons. I've talked about this before when I used to work with them in St. John. One of the reasons I love marigolds. And a teacher started this thing, do a real quick recap. And her elementary school kids grew marigolds. Not every kid had a garden. So then the teacher started something and they called it Marigold on Main. And there's a big bed down Main Street in St. John, New Brunswick. And the kids, all of the local elementary schools now get marigold seeds. The kids grow the marigolds and then they go out and spend a day planting them.
That's cute.
Now they're elementary school kids. Their planting skills aren't the best. So we would be behind them and we wait until they're done and the press take their pictures and the kids are all happy and then everybody leaves and then we go behind them and plant them all properly. Because you don't want to do it in front of the kid and basically be like, you did this wrong, I'm doing it. But you don't want to not fix it and then it dies and then the kid goes, why did mine die?
Yes. And it serves many purposes, right? It's aesthetic for Main Street. It's community building, but it also has that strong scent to sort of ward away.
And that was one of the reasons why they picked marigolds is because they're really hardy.
Yep.
They can take adverse conditions and the bugs.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to worry about bugs and we have to go out and treat them and be careful with them and whatnot. So it was a total win. That's one of the reasons why marigolds always make me happy.
Yeah. You were mentioning before the show, talking about forget-me-nots and how aggressive they can be. So this is sort of, would this be one of the only things you really have to worry about if you are putting them in your garden bed?
I know. Yeah. I know some people, they really do not like things like forget-me-nots, certain pansies, because there's a pansy variety back east and everybody called them Johnny Jump-Ups.
This one's literally called Johnny Jump-Up.
There you go. Yeah. That's it. Okay. I haven't seen it in a while. Oh my God. You put them in and you'll see them sprouting like weeds, like literally in the crack of a sidewalk.
Yeah,
they're coming up. And some people do not like it. They find it too, it's not the aesthetic they want. They don't want it that wild. Forget-me-not, beautiful flower. I think everybody is familiar with it. But if they don't deadhead, they can spread. Now, here's the other thing. They're not considered invasive. They're not considered damaging because they are relatively easy to weed out. Mm-hmm. Just, you see them popping up. You don't want it there. Yoink it.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned putting them in pots. And I think when you were talking about thriller, filler, spiller, definitely take into account how tall they will become. I think there have been many times in the past, especially for me, you know, I've bought the annual pre-grown flowers from the garden center and I've like planted everything. And then I didn't realize how high they got. Cause I was like, well, they were this high at the garden center. Like I thought they would be the same. And then they just weren't. Like, I remember I got a petunia once and it kind of went up instead of like, I was imagining it was going to go down and be all this trailing beauty. And then it just like it just changed how the planter looked over the season. So definitely looking at whether you're in the garden center and looking at how high they are going to get or looking at the back of your seed packet and just, you know, understanding what the end game is going to look like.
Read your seed pack or read your plant tag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the best thing. Unless you know exactly what the plant is. It's one you're familiar with. You've used it a lot. You recognize it. Years ago, we were designing beds for a city. And the guys were putting in the plants and they had the layout and they were putting them in and they were kind of doing what they should, tall at the back or in the center and then the layers coming down. And they took a tall plant and they put it in. And I was like, ooh, and they're like, what? And I was like, that one is actually going to outgrow that one. You want to swap those two rows. Mm-hmm. They were like, swap the rows, and it worked fine. But when you're looking at them, you're like, well, this one's bigger. But that one, it could have been started earlier, any number of reasons, and that one is bigger right now, but it could be already maxed out.
Yep.
That one's still got a lot of growing to do. So read your tags, look at your seed packets, talk to the experts, whatever you got to do. But it's, and then once you know you love that pot, just buy the same stuff every year.
Yeah. If we're growing, you know how we get those famous Southern Alberta thunderstorms.
Yep.
And the hail comes and, you know, these flowers are delicate. So what can we do to protect our flowers throughout the season?
You know, here's the best part. A lot of them aren't that delicate. Mm. They look delicate, but they are tenacious. So you have to remember annuals. Okay, so you look at a cosmos and a tree. You go, well, the cosmos is significantly weaker. Mm-hmm. And sure, structurally it is. But there are certain annuals. So there's one, I didn't see any seeds here. It's one I use frequently. I love it. It's called verbena. Mm-hmm. I was growing it and it stopped producing blooms. It was healthy. It was green. It was growing. And I just bundled it, took it like that, and just cut 2/3 off it, threw that in the compost. Bam, brand new flowers. Because they are designed to bloom. They have one shot, okay? Not to sound like Eminem. but they only get one shot. And they don't miss your chance to grow.
You can't just leave it.
I know, of course I can't. But I feel like if I had those lyrics, I could, like, you only get one shot to grow. Don't, whatever.
Coming to a Spotify near you.
Yeah, exactly. They have one season, and in that one season, they need to produce as many seeds as possible in order to survive. That's their end. Because the plant doesn't know that we're going to carefully put that seed 1/4 inch under the soil and put it under a grow lamp and spritz it with water. It just knows if I drop one seed, there's a chance it won't live. A bird will eat it. It'll get blown away. It'll get covered in water. It won't get any water. So its goal is to just all year crank out seeds, crank out hundreds, thousands of seeds, hundreds of thousands of seeds. Not once really am I ever, ever worried about my annuals. It's my veggies.
Ah.
And I've come and seen my annuals pretty decimated. Now, again, I'm not, your sunflower gets decimated, it's pretty sad. But when I see, you know, my begonias, my cosmos, sweet peas, hammered, I'm like, all right, no problem. Clean off some of the dead, let them go. The root system is still fine. Bam, they are right back up because those roots have a ton of energy and they're like, oh, we need to grow. Go, 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 go. New flowers. Sometimes they're looking great again after a week, 10 days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they are delicate, but they're not as fragile. They're tenacious.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, on the other end of that, say we've had a really hot summer and they're just growing like crazy. Can you prune them back?
Yeah, absolutely. When you get into August and it's really hot and really dry, they just stop putting out flowers, especially if they're not getting their water requirements.
Yeah.
So you really, really need to keep an eye on that. Again, they're not dead. They're just going into a state of dormancy because they need to produce seeds. They can't risk putting out a flower if they don't have the strength to carry it to seed. So they just lock themselves down. They start getting the water and the fertilizer and they're like, game on, and away they go. So just keep watering, keep fertilizing, keep feeding, and you can keep those blooms going.
And you can probably, like, say you get like a hanging basket full of petunias and they're just going crazy. Like they're trailing down, they're touching the ground. Can you just cut them and then they'll just keep growing?
Yep.
Okay.
So I was aggressive when I did the verbena. If you don't know, don't take any more than 1/3 off.
Okay. Okay.
Or do 1/3 and most plants will be able to handle that. And I'm talking most trees, shrubs, perennials. You only take off 1/3. It may not like it. It may not look good. You may alter some things, but you probably have not killed the plant. Mm-hmm. The plant is probably like, okay, I can come back from this.
Let's talk more about structures because my mom, when she grew sweet peas, she would actually have them going up a net.
Yep. For things like sweet peas, the reason people use nets is because the spacing is closer together.
Ah.
Okay. So if you're using, say, a cast iron fence that's this far apart, it can be difficult for them necessarily to reach, where if the posts are closer together, But if you have a cast iron fence and you want the sweet peas to cascade over that, you can always run netting along your fence.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. But they absolutely do need a structure. You may have to stake sunflowers. You may have to stake cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
If the wind is blowing them and they're constantly leaning over, I cannot think of a time when I've had to worry about a structure for my annuals.
Let's talk about some of the common diseases, bugs, predators. I know we talked about some of these flowers being great for warding off predators by their natural scent.
Yep.
But is there anything that will target these? I saw a wildflower blend called Deer Resistant Blend. And I don't know if that's so much to so that they don't attack the flowers, or is that so that it doesn't attack anything else in your garden?
So it does. Basically, it's wildflower. So if you think about certain wildflowers, okay, so the prairie crocus comes up fast. The leaves are green. It puts out flowers when a lot of everything else is still brown. Why does nothing eat it? Why do why do the deer and the bunnies?
I've never thought about it.
Yeah, it's toxic.
Oh.
So they don't go for it. There's a wild clematis in Alberta.
Yeah.
Doesn't get eaten.
Okay.
Because that's its survival mechanism. If it came up first in the spring and it was green, it wouldn't even get a chance to bloom before all of the deer were like, oh, great, early season snack. Don't mind if I do. So basically, they found varieties that are unpalatable to those species, and that's what they put in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the problem with that is if you put them out, they won't eat that, but they may eat other things. It's not going to keep them off your property. They're just not going to eat that. Like, if you serve me a plate and on the side of the plate, there's a big pile of steamed cilantro, I will eat everything else. I'm not going to eat that. If you mix that through all of the food, I'll pick at it a little and I'll be like, I'm good. So you can use it, but I mean, how much of it are you going to plant to keep the deer off your property?
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's basically how it goes. Again, a lot of them are, you know, when you've got squirrels, I mean, squirrels are vandals. Okay. I don't know if you've ever seen, I watched a squirrel. I wish I had a camera. Again, this is back in the day. I had a cell phone, but it was like the size of a brick. Like a house brick. Yeah, you had to pull the antenna up. I'm so cool.
I remember my mom had that.
Yeah, it had the flip down mouth. To answer your phone, you're like, hold on, let me take this call.
I remember I had a compartment in the car. Yeah.
You put it on your belt and it's like, hanging. You're like, yeah, these are now low riser jeans.
Like, that's why my mom had a big purse.
Because
it had to haul it.
You couldn't put it in your pocket. It had to have the hip holster.
I love that we're old enough to remember this. Yeah. Like,
so needless to say, and that, think about the size of that. And I didn't even have a camera built in. But anyway, I watched a squirrel in Montreal sit on the branch of a magnolia tree. I know we're not talking about trees, but this is to illustrate squirrels. And this magnolia was covered in blooms. It was probably mid-May, and they're an early spring bloomer. And it was pulling and chewing the buds off the flower and throwing them on the ground. I'll share with anybody, but somebody came into my yard and they're like, oh, hey, can I get some tomatoes? And I was like, yeah, and I give them, and they proceeded to just throw them in the alleyway. I'd be like, okay, I could have given them to somebody else. Like,
essentially, squirrels are just asserting their dominance.
Yeah, like they're just like, yeah, what are you going to do? What are you going to look at?
You like this?
Yeah. Haters going to hate. But that you can't really stop. Squirrels will vandalize for the sake of it. That being said, last year, though, we had a squirrel that was hiding stuff in my window box. Still a little guy. I'd look in my window box and there'd be a squirrel.
What did you find?
Some nuts and like acorns and stuff, or whatever. Oh, okay. He'd found when I cleaned it out.
Go out and find me stuff.
So crows and ravens will do that.
What?
Okay. So
okay.
I got to share this now. Has nothing to do with flowers. We're not even talking about birds. So they've been rated as having an equivalent intelligence to a 7-year-old human.
What?
Yeah, they are phenomenally smart. And if you go out and feed them, and you make a noise. So every morning you go out at 8 o'clock and you dump some peanuts onto like tin, something that makes a sound, they will come. And then they go, oh, this person is helping us. And they will start bringing you gifts. They will bring a button. Okay. And they'll bring a button. Now, say one of them, and this is absolutely documented, people have done the tests. Say one of them one day brings you a $5 bill because it's blue, shiny paper, and it saw it and it thought, it doesn't know it's $5, but it brings you a $5 bill. And you give it an extra special treat, they will start looking for that.
Oh, we should get some.
We should get everybody.
I'm like, what can we want?
Yeah. But the thing is, you can't, I don't know that you can. This part, I don't know. I don't know that you can train it to find it. You have to wait for it to bring it to you and then reward it. Because like if you pull out a $5 bill and you drop it and you put down a treat, it's going to be like, thanks for the treat.
I mean, that's just classic psychology right there.
Yeah, so I don't know how we got on. Oh, yeah,
hey, let's come back. Let's
thank
come
you,
back.
Brandy,
welcome
for bringing
back
us
to
back.
The Helpful Gardeners podcast. Today we're talking about flower seeds. And now we're going to talk more about the general care. So we're going to chat more about watering because these are high production. And as you mentioned earlier, on those really hot summer days, we want to make sure that watering is kept up. So how much water do they need? I mean, it depends on the vessel, but like,
depends on exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. It depends on the vessel.
Yeah.
And depends on location.
Yeah.
You can have two of the same vessel, both in full sun, but one's around the corner and also gets high wind.
Okay.
Maybe it's drying out quicker. Mm-hmm. I have a few pots. My pots kind of always go in the same place. We are creatures of habit. And as I walk by, I'll frequently do the finger test and just boom, stick my finger in or do the weight test where you just lift it and you go, ooh, that's really light.
Yeah.
And you give it a shot or the plant will tell me, but absolutely keep an eye on it. A lot of times once they're gone, they're not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know you're not very good with watering, find varieties. Do we have any? I didn't see any. But look for a really good variety that is pretty good with watering. Full sun is Portulaca. Mm. It's almost like a succulent.
Mm-hmm.
Begonias can be pretty good. So find different varieties if you're not very good with watering. But if you're going to do something like cosmos, lavender, you probably want to be putting the water to them sometimes twice a day.
You know, you got one shot, one chance to grow because fertilizer, I think, would be very important when you're talking about growing flowers.
And I don't think you will find a more evident showing of how well fertilizer works. Because, again, with tomatoes, you're fertilizing, but you're not seeing the result till the end.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, well, is this working? Is it not? You take two pots, plant them identically, fertilize one, don't fertilize the other. Within 3 weeks, you'll be like, yes, there is a huge difference.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't go crazy. I'm going to give a little hack here. Do not go crazy. Do not over-fertilize.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do not over-fertilize because what ends up happening is the plants grow way too rapidly. And then mid-season, it's like steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, your doctor prescribes you steroids because you're sick or you're injured to get you better. That's a good thing. The shady guy at the gym is selling you steroids out of a Ziploc bag. You might want to be very careful. So I've seen plants this big covered in flowers, and then they start doing really poorly, and you lift it out, and the root system is the size of a golf ball.
Oh, wow.
Because it wasn't actively growing. It was just massively metabolizing the fertilizer.
Yeah.
But that being said, absolutely push it to the limit. So where I'm always like, oh, you can dial your fertilizers back, maybe go a little. You can do it with these. Any fertilizer is going to help, but you want to push it. Go to the limit. It says 100 mils per liter of water every week. Go for it.
Yeah.
Don't stop.
Yeah, that's another thing. People like, I feel like everyone kind of stops gardening at the end of August, but it's like, I know last year you were pushing people to keep fertilizing your annual flowers right up until like October.
Well, I think I sent you pictures of how mine looked at the end of the year.
Yes.
Yeah. Keep watering, keep fertilizing. So we always say stop fertilizing your trees and your perennials late season.
Yes.
Start dialing that back. Annuals, go for it. Just keep going.
Yeah. So when you have those perennial and biennial seeds that you want to start for flowers, those ones you want to also stop fertilizing.
Absolutely. So treat them as an annual. The moment they have germinated, the moment they have started growing, they're a flower, but they are now a perennial or a biennial.
Yes.
Treat them accordingly.
So remember which one they are.
Your annuals. Go wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Go wild. And I push my annuals hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you this, full disclosure, there are times where I'm like, oh, did I fertilize them? I think I did. Once in a while, it's not going to hurt. But there's a reason why people go, oh my God, look at you. How did you keep them blooming for so long?
Yeah.
Why do they look like that? because I max out my fertilizer and I water heavy.
And you deadhead. Yeah. Let's talk about deadheading for a second here.
Yeah. It's more essential on an annual than a perennial.
Mm.
Perennial, you're doing it for overall health.
Yeah.
There is absolutely a purpose. It is beneficial. I do it on my perennials. But annuals, you don't deadhead and they'll start. So basically, you're tricking the plant. Mm-hmm. The plant, as we've said, is trying to produce seed. You see that flower starting to curl in. Well, it means it's fertilized. It's pollinated. So it's curling in and you go, not on my watch. And the plant goes, guess I'll send out another flower. And it's sent. So you're constantly popping them off and the plant is replenishing them. There are some that will literally be like, okay, I'm done. I did my job. I created 2,000 seeds. I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So keep deadheading, keep tricking them. And it's fun.
Yes.
I'm going to live head and then I'm going to wear the flower.
But it's very interesting because this entire seed starting journey that we've been on throughout March, we've been telling people to not deadhead their flowers because that's where the fruit and the vegetable comes
exactly,
from. But in this case, you do want to deadhead those flowers. And I know some of them can be super difficult, like the lobelia, for example, right?
How satisfying was that?
Oh, that was very satisfying.
Exactly.
But the lobelia is so small and, oh, thanks. Sorry. Oh, no, there's pollen everywhere.
I know, it's all over me. Okay, so the lobelia.
The lobelia is so small. And every time I've told people to like deadhead their annual flowers, they're like every single little one. But that's when you're talking about the lobelia. That's when you can sort of just do like a nice little prune, right?
Exactly. You can pinch them. You can nip them off with your finger. A lot of the ones that are really small, even some of the, it's not as tiny as the lobelia, but I love it. I love it. The little petunias, like the million belts.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Tiny flowers. Often on those, because the flower is so weak.
They're so little. Yeah,
I'm not going to deadhead because it's going to keep producing.
Yeah.
It's going to keep producing, but I want to clean off the dead petal. Mm-hmm. I just give it a quick blow with my leaf blower.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. I have a little electric leaf blower. I don't use the gas one. I just use a little electric one. I don't use it all the time. And I just go, please, 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 please be careful.
I'm just imagining someone just messaging us later. Like,
I told somebody I did that and they were like, oh, that's a great idea. They had one of the big backpack commercial blowers and they were like, and the plant's flying out the ground. And I was like, oh, no. I put my leaf blower electric on the lowest setting and go, really? And it goes, and they blow off and I go, okay, great. And I leave it at that. So that's what I do. But I mean, you can pinch them. Do we have a deadhead on this one? And you can just literally take your nails and pop it like that.
Yeah, super easy.
Yeah, so you can clean them off that way. You can comb them with your fingers. And it doesn't have to. Jenny loves deadheading, and she doesn't do it all in one shot.
Yeah.
So when she's out on the deck and she might go out, read her book, she might go out and do yoga. And when she's done, she'll look and she'll clean some up and she'll clean up that side. And then tomorrow she'll clean up that side.
It's a great mindless activity. I think you were mentioning in an earlier podcast how our friend Bree comes over to your house and she'll just deadhead. Like I do that whenever I was at my grandparents' house, I would do the exact same thing. I would just deadhead. And I was like, I really hope that you don't think I'm like judging you for having like an untidy garden or anything. I just love the activity of doing it. So
That pop and the
Oh my gosh, it's so satisfying.
Yeah.
I prefer deadheading over weeding, personally.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah,
I do too. Yeah. I'm a big fan. And come on, aesthetically, when you turn around and everything is now clean and fresh and ready to go again, it looks pretty sharp too.
Cool. Well, I hope that you've enjoyed this episode of flowers. If you're growing from seed or if you're growing from a pre-grown plant, let us know. We'd love to know what you're growing in your garden in 2024. This actually wraps up our seed starting mini series.
March is already over.
March is over. So we're going to be heading into April. We've got a whole bunch of guests lined up.
Oh, we do too.
It's going to be really exciting. More details on that coming up, but join us next week for a whole new episode. We're so excited to be heading into spring. Well, if you're listening over on Spotify, make sure to answer our polls and question of the week. We are now doing video podcasting over on Spotify and YouTube. So give us a follow, subscribe, give us your comments. What do you want to see on the show? What do you want to learn more about? We are available on Facebook, Instagram. You can email us info@goldenacre.ca and just put like podcast in the subject line and we'll see it. If you're in the area, come visit the store.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of spring going on at Golden Acre. Go visit your local garden center. I'm sure they've got a lot of neat stuff going on right now.
And next week, we'll get into all sorts of spring-related content. We're really excited for it. And I guess we'll catch you next weekend.
Bye, everyone.